This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about how to conduct a competitor analysis. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy that houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. I have courses in there such as fundraising for the small self-storage investor that shows you how to use other people's money and do it correctly in order to raise capital for your self-storage projects. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But congratulations, let's say you own a self-storage facility. So I'm assuming you are in the self-storage business right now. Let's talk about how to conduct a competitor analysis for your trade area. So in the old days, really all you had to do, if you wanted to set up shop and start leasing and competing in your trade area, is you had to open the door. You had to have a good operating system and website, and you had to turn the lights on. And odds are you would rent up, or odds are if you bought an existing facility, you would institute your management changes, and you'd be running your business just fine. Those days are long gone. Now, it's a very competitive business today. If you want to be relevant in the storage business to your customers, and remember, your customers pay the bills and pay your mortgage payment. If you want to remain relevant to your customer base, you had better know what's going on in your trade area and where you sit with your facility in relationship to the other properties. Now, I tell people today, especially if they're doing small facilities or if it's just them, if you don't want to learn online marketing, if you don't want to learn Google Ads, and if you don't want to learn Google Metrics, you need to either, one, buy bigger facilities where there's enough cash flow there, the economics are such that you can hire somebody to manage that, or you need to get in another business. Here's the reality today. The best marketer wins. And usually that's the best marketer online wins. Today, if you want to win at the game of self-storage, you've got to win at the game of marketing. Now, don't get too scared. I know I've heard this a lot from a lot of people. Well, there's REITs in my marketplace, so how can I win? Here's the thing. I've beaten REITs in trade areas at the game of marketing. In other words, I've rented up faster than them, and my marketing's been more effective. You can actually track how effective your marketing is on Google compared to your competitors in a trade area. And I have a lot of people I've worked with who have beaten, outperform the REITs in their marketing. So just because there's a REIT there and somebody throwing a lot of money at it doesn't mean you can't play and play effectively at the game of marketing your self-storage facility in your trade area. So if you're doing a competitive market analysis, let me share with you kind of the main four things I do as I'm gathering information for a particular trade area. The first thing you want to do is identify your main competitors. Now, who are your main competitors? Well, if you have a feasibility report, which you have a feasibility report, don't you? That's easy because your competitors are listed in that feasibility report. But in most cases, if it's self-storage in a fairly large market, or a city, it's usually 3 to 5 miles. is your market area. The facilities are 3 miles and in are probably more relevant than the ones that are 3 miles to 5 miles, but any one in there could be a main competitor. And if you're in a more rural area, smaller market, I mean, I've seen it 7 and 10 miles sometimes, is a trade area where your customer base can be. You want to first list what are the facilities in that marketplace. I usually do this on a spreadsheet. The next thing I look at is their online presence. Do they have a website? Most do, but I'm shocked how many don't today. I love it when I find projects in my trade area and these facilities don't have websites. It's like I've already got them before I do a thing. I look at their website. How good is their website? Do they have dynamic pricing? Do they have the ability to rent online? If you have REITs in your trade area, let's say Public Storage, Extra Space, you know the REITs, odds are they have dynamic pricing. Many independents have dynamic pricing, but many independents have static pricing. I want to see what their online presence is in my trade area, what their discounts are, what their move-in specials are, and how user-friendly is their website. Can I transact on their website, or is it basically just information, and then I've got to take another step to actually transact with them? I want to see all that. Ultimately, I'm trying to see how sophisticated they are. Now, in most cases, the ones that have a good online presence, a good website where you can transact business, and most often they're doing dynamic pricing, odds are those are my main competitors. So I want to make a special note of that on there. They're my competitors. Next, I want to see what their pricing is and what I've got to do to compete with them. Now, I'm not going to tell you should use dynamic pricing if some of your main competitors are using dynamic pricing. I've used dynamic pricing. I don't use it right now. That doesn't mean every unit I have is the same price. I typically don't go down in price. I typically will go up in price. But I will charge more, like upgrades, for units that are more convenient. But on my website, I'm not promoting the upgrade. What I'm promoting is a price and or a move-in special. I may be offering move-in specials to compete with them, but I'm not offering dynamic pricing and then upping my price 60 days after somebody moves in. I will post my price, but then offer a special for people to get in. That's just what I'm doing right now, because in a lot of my marketing, I talk about the integrity of our pricing and how we're not constantly raising it like many of our competitors are. So if I'm in a market with a lot of dynamic pricing, that's one of my market strategies. But you may want to use dynamic pricing, and I'm not telling you not to. Now, ultimately, what I'm going to price my units at and what specials I'm going to offer, to a large degree, is a function of how full I am. So if I'm in lease up, I'm going to be a lot more aggressive in my pricing in order to get occupancy, and then I'll deal with raising the prices later. If I'm stabilized or above in the 90%, odds are I'm more focused on revenue. Now, this is just me. Odds are I'm more focused on revenue and keeping the integrity of my revenue and my per square foot income. That's more important to me than whether I'm at 92% or 86% occupancy. So there's like everything in life, there's not like a hard and fast rule you should be doing this. What you need to do as an owner is to find that balance for yourself. I do very different things online and lease up than I do with projects that are stable. That's just how we run our business. You will find your own balance as you explore and experiment with pricing and marketing online. But I look at the pricing that they're offering, their website presence, and I come up with what I'm going to offer. Now, very often, what we do is we will have our street rate be a function of our occupancy for a particular size. And with the operating systems today, you can preset all this where you're not having to constantly go in and change it. In other words, if you're 85% and above on a 10 by 10, you could be charging $100 for that 10 by 10. You may or may not have a move-in special. If you're from 85 to 80%, you may be charging $80. And you can preset the prices you want depending on the occupancy of your unit. Then the next thing I really look at closely, I look at their website, look at how effective they appear to be in marketing. Then the next thing I look at is I look at their presence on Google. Now here's the thing. You've got to show up on Google and you've got to show up on the first page. Mostly, especially if you're new and especially if you've just opened a facility or just bought a facility, your SEO isn't going to do that. So in other words, you and I use pay-per-click in Google. So we show up and are relevant in our trade area. I want to show up on the first page of Google. I claim my business on Google. I'm on the map. My website's easy to hit. I show up in one or two places, hopefully above, most of the time above the fold. In other words, you don't have to scroll down or scroll down very far to see us at least once or twice. Very often I'm above the maps and then I'm in the maps. And I pay for that. And I put that in my budget. Most of us are not knowledgeable about online marketing when we start. But here's my coaching. You better get knowledgeable about online marketing if you're going to be relevant today. And if you've got small facilities or it's just you, I know it might seem overwhelming, but if you want to win at the game of self-storage, you got to win at the game of marketing. And understanding Google Ads, Google Placement, Google Metrics are all critical. Now, there's a lot of ways to learn. You can, Google has free training. There's a lot of free training on YouTube. There's a lot of courses that you can purchase that will teach you about it. And Google, you could end up with an ads manager at Google. Don't always do everything Google suggests you do. Very often I go against what some of their suggestions are as I'm going through the testing period, and then I will more automate it. But you've got to learn Google marketing. So if you're in the self-storage business, that's just part of the water you swim in these days. So don't be afraid of it. Just learn it. Even if you third-party vendor it out, I still recommend learning it or learning a lot about it so that you can manage third-party vendors and you know if they're being effective or not. I've seen a lot of people, and I myself have thrown a lot of money away on vendors who aren't very effective on marketing. So I'm doing a competitor analysis. That's kind of the first two steps I go through. Website, online presence, and how effective they appear to be, primarily on Google. The next thing I do is I do an inventory of basically physical appearance. I go by my competitors. Now, I usually do an updated competitor analysis every quarter. That doesn't necessarily mean I go by each facility every quarter, but very often I do, but I go by at least once a year. Very often I'm going by my competitors all the time if it's in a market close to where I live. But I want to see how they appear physically. You know, how is their landscaping? How is the entrance appear? Where is my facility positioned location-wise and appearance-wise in relationship to my competitors? If at all possible, I'm going to be the most expensive rate-wise in my trade area. Now, that's not always possible. If somebody has a far superior location to me and they're much newer than I am, then maybe I will my marketing and my lease-up strategy will be to be the least expensive so that people will burn the calories to find me and get to me. But usually I'm not buying those or building those facilities. Usually I'm focused on facilities or on main roads. So I want to figure out in my trade area, what do I need to do to be better in appearance and more relevant online than my competitors, so as I lease up, I can get the maximum rate that that trade area will allow. So after I look at a property and I think, okay, what I need to do is, let's say, paint the buildings, increase the landscaping to soften up the appearance of it, and brighten up the facility at night. I don't go crazy and spend out, but I will design a plan on how and when I'm going to have those capital improvements done, and then I execute that plan. And then the next part of my competitive analysis is my competitors' weaknesses. I don't care how good a facility is, every facility has weaknesses. I don't care how bad a facility is, every facility has its strengths. I want to know the strengths and the weaknesses of my competitors. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. You can call, go get information. I do call, I go get information. But what I do is on my competitive spreadsheet, my competitive analysis spreadsheet, I will pick my main competitors and I'll go rent a unit. I'll rent a unit in their place, and I want to see if they have managers, how good those managers are. Did they upsell me? Did they stand up and greet me? Did they look me in the eye? Did they try to upsell me or upgrade me on units? Did they walk with me to show me the unit? I pay attention to all that, and then when I get back in the car, I make a note of where they were good and where they were bad. Very often I'm late on paying, if I can be, and I want to see how they handle late payments, how they communicate with me about that. Very often I conveniently forget my gate code, and I want to see how responsive they are. What's their customer service like? Do they ask for referrals? I want to get all that information. I want to see where they're weak. Why? I want to exploit that. Now, what we do with all our facilities and with our managers, and if it's a managerless office and you've got to do this, and whoever works your phones, you've got to work with them on it. But the people who work our phones and our managers, we all create what are called USPs, unique selling propositions. I don't care how good or bad a facility is, every facility has some unique selling propositions. I want to find out what the weaknesses are of my competitors so I can talk to potential customers about those weaknesses. I'll tell you how I do that in a minute. And I want to come up with three, no more than five, unique selling propositions of our facility. Sometimes the USPs could be as simple as we have wide drive lanes. In Florida, for example, we had a project that just happened to be on some high ground, and I discovered in a tropical storm event that my competitors flooded. We didn't. I did a little research. Our facility had never flooded. And that's one of our unique selling propositions. That's one of the weaknesses of my competition. So when someone calls on the phone, our manager or our answering service was trained to ask them to, first of all, tell them that, one, we don't flood. That's actually a feature. And two, the benefit of that feature is that if you put your goods in a storage unit in our facility, no matter what the weather is, you know that when you open that door to come back to them, they're going to be dry. And we will, if we can't close the deal on the phone and have them rent from us, our managers are trained to advise those potential customers to ask our competitors, when was the last time you flooded? So we find out what the weaknesses are of other properties. We create some unique selling propositions. And then we always train our managers and the people who answer our phone to use features and benefits. Why? Because everybody's got features. But customers don't care about your features. They want to know what's in it for them. What's the benefit for them? And so we train our managers that anytime they have a benefit, anytime they say a feature, they come up with a benefit. Most managers don't. When I'm exploring of the weaknesses of my competitors, that's one of the things I look at. Did they do feature benefit? So very often we get phone calls from people that will say, what's the price of your 10 by 10? What we do is we train our managers to answer that question, then ask another question. Ultimately, we want to find out what their game is, what their goal is, what they're storing, and why and for how long. And then, based on what that person answers, our managers are trained to always offer features and benefits, and close the deal. If they can't close the deal, then we will tell them to ask our competitors about whatever their weakness happens to be. So in today's world, winning at the game of self-storage is winning at the game of marketing, whether it's online, on the phone, or in person. And a good competitive analysis that we update quarterly covers all these. What is my competition's presence online? How good is their website? What is their pricing and specials? What's their position on Google? How good or weak are they on Google? What are their strengths and their weaknesses? And what does their appearance look like? And we update, if needed, our USPs, and we do training a couple times a year with our managers. That is what a good competitive analysis will do. It'll help you win the game of marketing. And believe me, winning at marketing, if you want to win at self-storage, win at marketing. And self-storage is a game worth winning at. So thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool that we use to analyze the potential cash flows of opportunities we're looking at, whether they're existing, expansions, conversions, or new construction. One thing I'll do is if I'm looking at a potential deal, I'll do a preliminary competitive analysis. I'll see how effective my competition is on Google. And then I will enter into the Storage World Analyzer a marketing number for online marketing under advertising, and I'll adjust it a couple different ways to see what's the maximum I can spend to win at that game. So thank you. I look forward to being with you next week, and I will see you then.